Turn to Psalm number 40.
Psalm 49, meet me there. Strong Old Baptist Church this Sunday morning. Glad you could be here with us. At this time, we'll go through our announcements. If you don't have a bulletin, slip your hand up real high. One of our ushers will make sure that we get one out to you. If you open up to the first page, you'll see our service times listed there. As always, Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening again at 5 p.m., Wednesday night 7 is our Bible study. We're going to be finishing up the book of Habakkuk this week, so it's only three chapters in that book, and we are in chapter 3 this week. Hopefully, you can make it out to our midweek service. We've got the soul-winning opportunities listed there. Just wanted to point out the modification to the Monday night soul-winning group. Brother Brian is going to be heading that group up moving forward, since Brother Carter is going to be filling a new role in Greenville. So he's no longer going to be heading up that group, but everything other than that is remaining the same, same time, same soul-winning stuff and everything. And that group's been pretty solid for a long time. So, but if you need to know where you're meeting up for the soul-winning, you'll just have to contact Brother Brian now to get that information. Salvations and baptisms are listed there for the month of June as well as for the year. And then the offering totals received through the month of June down at the bottom of the page. Let's go ahead and count up if there's any salvations to report at all for this week that haven't been reported yet. Just slip your hand up real quick. Yes, sir. Friday. Friday and Wednesday. And Brother Jeremy, Thursday.
Friday.
Two
yesterday, one last Saturday.
Amen. And is there anyone else that I missed? Yes, sir.
One on Thursday, and then Saturday's group at 3.
Saturday group at 3. Excellent. Very good. Anyone else? All right. Very good. Keep up the good work out soul winning. Of course, that is ultimately what it's all about. We're trying to lead people to Christ. That's the purpose of our ministry here. That's why we gather together in church here ultimately, is to become soul winners and to be used by the Lord for his purpose. That's the whole point, right? That's the point of our lives, is to serve Christ. He saved us, so now we intend on serving him. Very good. Continuing on here, prayer requests. I have a prayer request card that I don't know. Somehow this got misplaced, so I apologize for that. You submitted this. And if this ever happens, please, if you don't see the name in the bulletin the next week, if you happen to notice it, let me know. Occasionally I misplace things. Not intentional, of course. But just let me know. This is for Rivers Middleton. And I don't know if this was maybe when I was out of town, maybe not. It's been kind of a hectic month for me. Either way, Rivers was diagnosed with leukemia and is only 2 years old. So have you heard any more news since the diagnosis? Okay. So obviously it's if they're doing treatments, it's not easy treatments. It's a very difficult disease to deal with, especially with a child so young. So we'll pray for the family and pray for that little child as well. Does anyone have any other updates to report for people? Yes, sir. It's spreading. And she's been dealing with that for a long time now. I mean, years, right? About 2 years. We've been praying for Lonnie for a long time. It's Logan's neighbor. And yeah, the last update we had spread to the lungs, but now it's spreading further. Okay. Sorry to hear that. We'll continue to pray for Lonnie. So Lonnie's not doing as well. The cancer is reported as spreading and getting worse. So please remember to keep. She's been battling for a while, for a couple years. With this, so please pray for her overall health and God's blessing there. So anyone else have any other updates to the prayer list? All right, very good. Moving on. This is the last day of June 30th, so it's the last day of the challenge. If you have been keeping up. Who has kept up with this challenge? Real quick, a show of hands. Amen. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Excellent. Don't forget today. You don't want to get all the way to the finish line and then stumble. Just come out soul winning with us this afternoon and it's all good. So the challenge for this month is my favorite challenge is the attempt to give the gospel to at least one person every single day of the month. So we're being focused on giving the gospel, giving the gospel, giving the gospel. I got to share the gospel with someone. I got to share the gospel with someone. So, and this is also the month we usually have the most salvations because of that, because we have a lot of people participate in this. Even if, there's not as many people raise their hands, but I know a lot more people did do more and participated in the challenge, even if they might not have hit every single day. So that's usually the way it goes with these things. So good job there, and we want to just keep moving forward having that mind. I hope this past 30 days is helping you to recognize opportunities that you might have passed up on previously, because we're going to continue to want to think about, hey, this is a great opportunity to try to give the gospel to this person or this person or this person, or you're busy doing something else and someone's walking by. Hey, why not just try to give them the gospel, right? That's the goal. That's the focus of this. So good job there. And then July challenge is visitors. So Great Commission is what we're called to do. We want to lead people to Christ, of course, preach the gospel to every creature. But we also want to see them get baptized and get discipled. And the best place for discipleship is right here. We got teaching 3 times a week. Teaching and training and fellowship and discipleship happens right here. It doesn't mean you can't individually try to help people out. Of course, do that as well. But there is less doctrine, things being prepared, things being taught to help out believers right here. So the goal is to try to encourage people to come to church, to get plugged in and to see what it's all about here. So be mindful of that, especially when you're going out and evangelizing, talking to people. Invite them. Invite them to church and follow up. If they're willing to give you your phone number, they seem really interested, give them a ring, give them a call. Pray for them, and of course, anyone who brings visitors will give a little prize for the visitor as well as for the church member. So, just keep that in mind through the month of July. Greenville church plant details are all listed there. So, thank you to everyone who helped. There was people who showed up here, helped load. There was people who showed up in Greenville, helped unload. This is the most exciting news that's been going on. Now, I've been talking about it for a while. Is this church plant? Everything looks great. We got everything set up real nice. All we're just waiting on the piano to come on Tuesday, and we're good to go. So we've got Pastor Anderson, who will be in town preaching for us on Friday night in Greenville. So if you can make it up there, I encourage you to try to get up there. 7 o'clock is the service time for that. That's kind of kick everything off. And then Saturday, we've got the Soul Winning Marathon. It's going to be meeting up at that church building at 9:15. The goal is to be hitting the streets by 10, okay? So we'll have a little bit of snacks, some food in the morning to get you going, some coffee. And then we'll send everybody out to knock on some doors and preach the gospel. We'll have lunch provided for you. We'll have dinner provided for you. And then, of course, Sunday is the grand opening service. Brother Carter's going to be preaching for us in the morning over there. And then he's going to be preaching in the evening service here. I'm going to be preaching the morning service here, and I'm going to be preaching the afternoon service over there on Sunday. So that's the schedule for this weekend. And I know many of you we've got invites at the church plant. We got a whole bunch of them here. I've got them on order, so I'm waiting for them to be delivered. I also have Bibles. We've been on back order for a while, so I just decided to order from another source, and those should be delivered by the end of this week. So apologize for being out of stock, but always keep in mind, when it comes to Bibles, you are welcome to go out and pick up Bibles too. Just make sure it's a King James Bible, right? Dollar stores are a great place. You spend a few bucks, have a few Bibles to distribute when you go out soul winning. You're totally welcome to do that. Obviously, we love to provide all the resources for you to do this stuff. That's why we do this. We want, you know, church will cover all these expenses, but if you really want to give someone a Bible, spend a few bucks and get one. We could totally do that as well. But I appreciate everyone letting me know, because I do want to know when we're out of that stuff, just like everything else. But those are all, that's what's happening. Those are, I know about it. They're coming in, and hopefully they'll be here by the end of the week. So let's see, is there anything else on that front? I think we're good there. Continuing on here, Bible memory passage. I told you I was going to give you a review week. So Hebrews chapter 11, the last half of this chapter, you got the rest of this week to get that nailed down and to quote that passage if you've been memorizing that with us as a church. So next Sunday night, midnight, will be the deadline to have that passage quoted. And then if you're able to do the whole chapter from verse 1 to 40, you get an extra prize for being able to do that. Okay? Which, obviously, if you could quote the whole passage, you don't need to only quote 21 through 40. You could just go ahead and quote the whole thing, and then we know that you've also memorized 21 to 40. Make sense? You don't have to quote two different, the same passage twice. So, upcoming birthdays and anniversaries, I listed there through the month of July. Am I missing anyone for the month of July? Any birthdays or anniversaries in July that's not listed in our bulletin there that you're willing to raise your hand and tell me about? All right, very good. And I think that's about it for our announcement. So with that, I'm going to turn the service back over to Brother Will, who will lead us in our next song.
Turn to Psalm number 370.
I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this day, and let us all be gathered here together. Thank you for this passage, and I pray that you would be with Pastor Burson as he preaches. Fill him with your Spirit, and help us to apply the message to our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Sorry, I'm just looking for my backup audio recorder. Oh, well, can't find it. Set it down somewhere. So that's also my timer, by the way, that I use to determine how long I preach for. Sorry. I'll look at the clock. Morning's easy. All right, so this morning, I don't intend on ripping face, so... I don't know if it's either a good thing or a bad thing for you. If you like that kind of preaching, then sorry. But it's a really happy for me, I love preaching sermons like this. I'm going to be preaching on the ordination that we're going to do this morning for Brother John Carter to lead and be the evangelist for the new church plant in Greenville. And this is a big deal. And what I'm going to do this morning, first of all, is I'm just going to teach on why are we ordaining someone? Why is he an evangelist? Why, you know, what is the biblical reasons for doing what we're doing? Because everything that we strive to do here is going to be done in order. It's going to be done according to good doctrine, according to what the Word of God teaches. And, you know, maybe you have or maybe you haven't heard very much taught on this from the Bible. So I want to make sure that we're clear on what's happening. Brother Carter is not being ordained as the pastor of the church over there. This new church plant is still going to be under the authorization or the authority of Stronghold Baptist Church, okay, which has me as the pastor, and I'm still going to be the pastor now ultimately over this church here. Of course, is my primary focus, but I'm also going to be responsible for what is going on at our church plant as well. But it's too much work for one person to do. Obviously, there's distance, there's everything else involved. So we need someone who's going to be faithful. We need someone who's going to be able to help run everything over there, that's able to preach, that's able to preach the gospel, that's able to organize and kind of help things run over there. And Brother John Carter is going to be that person that's going to do that. But I want to just go through some scripture and first of all show you, you know, this isn't just something you just make up or just like, oh, we've got to make something sound good and, oh, we're just going to make him an evangelist. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's just make him an evangelist. That's, you know, that's not how this works. Okay, that's not how we work, at least. And I don't know what people think, but I want to show you that this is scriptural, it's biblical, and why we do the things that we do, because ultimately we want to try to do everything the way that the Bible outlines. So there's three main points that I'm going to be covering here. The ordination, just being an evangelist, and laying on of hands. All three things are happening today, and I want to explain just briefly on all of them. I'm going to start with the evangelist being a role within the church. Evangelism just by itself, generically, is what we all should be doing as far as going out and preaching the gospel, right? That's often known as evangelism. We go and evangelize, and we want to convert people and win them to Christ. So that's something that we do, as everybody does. But beyond that, there is a role for specifically an evangelist within the church. And we started off in Ephesians chapter 4, because it's listed in Ephesians chapter 4. And if you want to specifically just jump down there to verse number 11. In fact, right before verse 11, verse 7 says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And, you know, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." And then it just makes a brief parenthetical statement here about ascending. Now they ascended, but what is it but that he also descended first into lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So just bypassing the parenthetical, because that's just giving extra information on something that's not really as relevant to what I'm talking about this morning. It says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And then, after the parenthetical statement, it says, and he gave some, so what is he giving? These are the gifts that he's giving for people to fill these roles. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And then he goes on to explain what is the purpose of the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. It's for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is the church. It's a local church. So these are roles that God has given gifts to the church, to the people, to have other people that are given gifts to be able to help, to teach, to be pastors, to be prophets, and, of course, apostles. We don't have the apostles anymore. That's a different sermon for a different day. But evangelist is listed in there as well, as something that God has given people who are gifted to help in these areas and to help the saints, the perfecting, meaning, you know, when we come to church, hopefully you're being perfected. You're learning more. You're growing more. You're growing in your knowledge. You're growing in understanding. You're being encouraged and edified to be strengthened in your faith and to keep moving forward. For the work of the ministry, of course, this is a ministry that we're doing. We serve others. We serve Christ for the edifying of the body of Christ till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now, I'm going to stop there, bringing up the fact that God doesn't want us to be children that just toss to and fro. He wants us to grow. He wants us to learn, which is part of the purpose of coming to church, right? When we go out and preach the gospel to people, when people get saved, right? And whether we're out on the door at their house preaching the gospel or whether they hear it, you know, no matter where anyone hears the gospel, when they get saved, they become a new creature. Old things pass away, all things become new. They're a new creation. They're a spiritual babe in Christ, right? That's just the way things work. Every person who's born again becomes a spiritual babe in Christ. That spiritual babe needs to grow. And because you're a babe, when you first get saved, you have to start learning good doctrine. You have to start learning the truth. You have to be able to get grounded in your faith and get settled in the Word of God and to be able to grow and to be strengthened in your spirit and to walk the way that God would have you to walk. So God doesn't just leave you without any resources as a spiritual babe in Christ after you're saved. But he has provided a system and a way for you to learn, for you to grow. And God has ordained the local church to fill that role for all the spiritual babes. And obviously that's not the only purpose of the church, but specifically we're seeing right here that God has given gifts unto men so that they could be pastors, they could be teachers, they could be evangelists to help lead people, to help the babes grow up so that they could have good doctrine, they could be sound in their faith, and they could grow the way that God would have them to grow. These are spiritual gifts, okay? It's not, you can believe that or not. I hope you do, because the Bible's really clear about spiritual gifts. We live in a spiritual world. We're spiritually born again, and God has given gifts unto men. Not everybody is meant to fill specific roles, but God gives gifts to people to be able to fill those roles. But everyone does have their own purpose in this church. I'm going to be preaching a little bit more about that tonight. Okay, there's the body of Christ is made up of different members, different people. You know, you're all a member of the body of this church, right? The body of Christ here, and everybody has different jobs to be able to do. And God has given different people different skills and abilities to fill the different roles at the end of the day. Even going back to the Old Testament, you could see when they were building the tabernacle, right? God gifted, was it Barzillai, the workmen in the gold and the workmanship so that they would make everything just right. He gave them the extra skill. They're already good at what they did, but he gave them that skill and that ability and the knowledge to be able to make things properly for the tabernacle so that it was done according to the way that God would have it to be done. They had a specific job to do, and God gave them the gift to be able to do that job. And part of the ordination of what we're doing here is to help equip Brother Carter to receive the gifts and to be fully equipped to do the job and fill the role that he needs to fill for a new church plant that's starting up, that's just forming in Greenville. So we see here the reason, the purpose of these specific roles too, is for the work of the ministry. It's for the edifying of the body of Christ. And an evangelist is someone here specifically, just like a pastor or a teacher, to help in that role. Now, we're going to look at one example of an evangelist in Scripture. And God gives, we get one really good example, and that's Philip, who's known as Philip the Evangelist. So turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 21. And just to be clear, too, one of the reasons why we're ordaining an evangelist is because the mission and the goal with this church plant is to start reaching people of the area in Greenville and get people saved and start discipling them and bring them and start, you know, working so that God can build a church there. So that God could gather the members and gather the people. And we need laborers and we need people to go forth into that whole area and preach the gospel. But someone needs to be in charge. Someone needs to be running things over there. Amen. And that's the job that the evangelist is going to be doing. It's not just one person who's going to be doing all of the soul winning themselves personally, but he's going to be heading up all of the efforts, all of the soul winning and all the things that are going on there. Obviously, additionally, doing the work himself as well. And then when we get the church established, we'll be looking to ordain an elder in that church so that it's not lacking. Obviously, it will have me as the pastor remotely, but that's not ideal. And we were going to want to try to get this independent and fully functioning on its own, this new church, as soon as we can. That's the goal, right? That's kind of the end game. But in order to take on such a big task, and it is, it's a big deal. Like starting up a brand new church, it's a big work. And we need to have the right people in place to do this. We don't just go willy-nilly on stuff. We don't just go rogue and just start, you know, people going all over the place and just starting their own churches and whatever. That's not how we do things. And that's not how I believe the Bible shows us how to do things either. The churches that were started, the churches that were planted, you read through the entire book of Acts, and you'll see it's the apostles, and you've got Paul, you've got Barnabas, right? You've got these men of God, you've got Peter, you've got people going out and preaching the gospel and evangelizing, going into foreign countries, spending a bunch of time out there, preaching the gospel to every creature, helping churches get started, right? By these apostles, by these men who have already been trained, they're already well-equipped, they're already qualified to go out and do this work to help get things off the ground. But their mission was to continue moving from place to place. But then they didn't stop there. They ended up ordaining elders in every city where they had started churches. That was the full picture of what was going on there. And right now, we're at a phase of just trying to get a church started. We already know there's a group of people that live in the area that are going to start attending this church. There's a need for it. There's people who are already saved, but we need to reach a lot more in that area. And I'll tell you what, from the looks of it, the fields look white unto harvest. And I know there's been multiple people who've already gone soul winning in that area, people who live in South Carolina. I know the Millers and the Rogers and Henrys have been soul winning kind of in that area in general, and they know very well that this is a great place to have a church and to reach people with the gospel of Christ. But let's look at Philip as an example of an evangelist. Look at verse number 7 in Acts 21. The Bible says, "And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais and saluted the brethren and abode with them one day. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy." And just that verse 9 there just kind of shows the type of man he was, because he had virgin daughters, right? He's raising them right. He's looking out for them. He's caring for them. And they prophesied. They preached the gospel. They were also involved in the work of the ministry, in the work of the Lord. And Philip was the type of guy that's how he ran his house. Now, it also mentioned he's one of the seven. Turn, if you would, back to Acts chapter 6. Because we're going to see where seven men were chosen, and we're going to see what the requirements were for these seven men to be chosen. Because they weren't chosen to be elders of a church. We have other passages in Titus and 1 Timothy that talk about the requirements for a bishop or for an elder. But here we're going to see people who were chosen for this other business. in Acts chapter 6, and Philip the evangelist was one of the seven. Verse number 1 of chapter 6, the Bible reads, "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." So just briefly, what's happening here is the church is growing. It's growing tremendously, and there's a lot of people that are attending, and the work that's involved with the operation of the church has just grown to be a lot of work. And what the apostles are saying is like, okay, there's a lot of work to be done here, but it doesn't make sense for an apostle to take on a task that doesn't require as much skill, that doesn't require maybe as much knowledge, right, as the work that they can be doing, which, again, this makes perfect sense no matter how you slice it. It makes sense in the world. It makes sense in church that you have people performing the tasks that they're best at and trying to do that as much as possible and not doing as much other tasks that maybe there's a whole bunch more people that can do the same thing. Why not get other people to do that job and leave the job that the apostles have to doing things that are a little bit higher spiritually minded to focus on that primarily? You know, I brought this up in the past. We ought to be willing to do any job, but if you want to know what makes sense, it makes sense to do things this way. You know, I had a job as a computer programmer, and I'm willing to do anything, right? I worked for a company. I'm like, hey, I'll take out the trash. I'll clean the bathrooms. I'll do whatever it is that you want me to do, right? I'm working for a boss. They tell me what my job is. But it would make a lot more sense to have someone else do those other jobs, since I have the knowledge and education to be able to do this other work that's going to provide this benefit that no one else is going to be able to do in that business. You see what I'm saying? So similarly, you want the apostles doing the work that the apostles can do the best, and let some of these other tasks be done by other men. However, let's look at what the Bible is outlining of who they want to choose to fill this job of what they call serving tables, because it's not just, who cares, let's just get anybody to take on this task, to take on this duty, to be part of this ministry. Not at all, not even close. So in verse number 3, the Bible says, so here's, after the apostles are like, hey, look, we shouldn't be called from what we're doing to serve tables. So here's what we need to do. We need to find people that are going to be able to do this work. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, seven men of honest report. So they got to be honest. Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Now, that's just not anybody, first of all. That's not just your guy. Someone just gets saved because, like, hey, man, I want to help you. You know, like, that's not the guy you're going to choose. They're not going to be full of wisdom right away, right? People need to be established. You need to be growing. And being full of the Holy Ghost, obviously, you've got some sanctification in your life. You're walking in the Spirit, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And, of course, in the next chapter, we read about the martyrdom of Stephen, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. And, of course, Philip is mentioned in here. He's one of the seven that they chose that was found to be full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom and honest to do the work that they had called him to do. Verse 6, whom they set before the apostles. Look at this. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And I don't have time to just do, I could preach an entire sermon just on the laying on of hands. But the Bible says in Hebrews 6 that this, the laying on of hands, is a basic fundamental doctrine, okay? And I've covered this, and I actually have preached on this in the past. If you want to know more than what I'm going to preach this morning, you could look it up. You could ask me. I'll try to direct you in the right place. But the laying on of hands of people who are ordained to receive the, you know, the commission and the work to do what they need to do is important. It's very biblical, and it's actually how things ought to be done. Even jobs that the apostles consider to be serving tables, no, we need to have good standards. We need to find the right people. We want to make sure that things get done right. So they're going to choose these people. They pray, they lay their hands on them. And look at the result of of their choosing to add more people to the work of the ministry to do more of this job. It says, and the word of God increased. Well, isn't that what we want? Yep. We want the word of God to increase. We want more people to come to the knowledge of the word of God. And we need more servants, we need more ministers, we need to reach more people in order to for the word of God to increase. Well, here's how we do it. We try to find more faithful people who are going to be able to step in and fill these roles to broaden and expand our reach. It says, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. So as a result of this decision, for the apostles to do the apostles' job and to add more people to do this work, the disciples, so the people now who are getting plugged in and are actually following Christ and are actually doing something with their life, it says that multiplied greatly. Well, isn't that what we want too? We want to have more people discipled, more people following Christ, more people getting involved and doing the work. Amen. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Amen. All good things are coming out of this decision to ordain these seven men to do this extra work. And just to make sure we got the right people, make sure the work's getting done. It's good. And Philip was one of those people. Let's turn to Acts chapter 8. We're going to see now a couple stories with Philip. Because if you just look up evangelists in the Bible, you're not going to find a whole lot of references. So this is why we're looking at the example that the Bible gives us. There's a reason why the Bible tells us Philip, hey, it's Philip the evangelist with that title, right? It's so we can look at him and look at what he did for this, especially when Ephesians 4 tells us that God gave gifts and one of them is evangelist. Acts 8, verse number 5, the Bible reads, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. So there we see him obviously preaching the gospel. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. All right, Brother Carter, you got some big shoes to fill here. I hope you got your miracles ready to go. Sorry, another sermon for another day on how the... Now, we do believe miracles are still possible. I do. 100% God is able to do as much as he did. However, during the time of the book of Acts, there was a confirmation going on of all the changes that had taken place between the Old Covenant and New Covenant and establishing the New Testament churches that God poured out of his Spirit, and there were special miracles being done by the apostles and by certain individuals that was confirming the word of God, because there's a lot of new revelation given through the Apostle Paul, through Peter, through the other instruments that were used to write to give us the New Testament, and that was a confirmation of all that work. Again, kind of another side topic for another day, but nonetheless, we see a man here with the boldness, with the Spirit of God, going forth, preaching Christ, and people listening to what he has to say. Verse 7, for unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is a great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And we see here Philip having the boldness to go into a place that, regardless of what they previously believed, no matter who they were following before, no matter who they had set in their mind as being someone as holy of God, he came and preached Christ. He came and preached the gospel, and he was able to convince them and show them the truth of the kingdom of God, the truth of Christ as Savior, and they believed. And, you know, we need more people to be able to go out and do that. In order to do that, look, you have to be filled with the Spirit. To powerfully go forth with the gospel, you have to be filled with the Spirit. That's how you're going to see the great conversions. That's how you're going to see this. Now, look, it's always the power of God, always, that saves. everyone needs to get started evangelizing and preaching the gospel in general, right? But if you really want to be effective at soul winning, you have to make your vessel meet for the master's use. You have to start living a more sanctified life. You have to really get spiritually minded in putting the things of God first in your life and not last. Right? When you start off, maybe they're last, hey, but at least have it going there, right? But you need to start building and growing. But ultimately, to have the real power of, wow, this person speaks and people listen, it's because they're filled with the Spirit of God. Jump down to verse number 26. We see one more story here involving Philip that I want to just bring to your attention again. Verse number 26, the Bible reads, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Now, before I even continue any further, you got to be sensitive to the Spirit's calling just in general, which is one of the reasons why we're finishing up a challenge of being mindful of preaching the gospel to people and to not even, you know, like the Spirit might be trying to lead you to preach the gospel to someone and you might just be oblivious to that. You're not even thinking about anything like that. But God might be leading you, hey, no, like you need to go talk to this person. And don't expect to hear some audible voice in your ear saying, go preach the gospel to that man sitting over there in the back chair. Okay? That's not going to happen. Has anyone had that happen? God, I'm just curious. That's not going to happen. Okay, but there is a prompting. When you're sensitive to the thing, you know, being spiritually minded and walking in the Spirit, that's when you're going to be able to take advantage of these opportunities that God's putting there for you. And Philip is just the man that's able to be spiritually minded. He's already someone who has been found faithful and is strong in the Spirit, right? So now God's able to use this man to do these works. And specifically here, to get this one person saved. Like, there's one guy who wants to know the truth. He's reading the Bible. He's not understanding what he's reading, but he wants to. And God says, hey, I like what I see here, but he needs to hear the truth. And there's plenty of people out there that genuinely want to know what's true. They want to know who God is. They want to know what's right. They want to know how to be saved. Even if they can't really articulate that very well, they just want to know more. This Ethiopian eunuch was a man that wanted to know more. Which is why we need soul winners, why we need people walking in the Spirit of God to go out boldly and to preach the gospel to these people and lead them and show them and say, hey, here's how you get saved. This is how you do it. God gives ministers to all men by whom we believe. And Philip is this minister for this person right here in this story. So the Spirit's leading Philip to go and join himself to a chair. And Philip, and look at this, and Philip ran thither to him. That's another quality. It's another attribute. He didn't drag his feet. He didn't go, well, I guess if I have to, well, it's another week. I got to put in another hour. Attitude means a lot. And when we're looking, and when God is looking for people to help build things, to do great works, and to reach people, he's not looking for the people who are just really grudgingly doing the things that they need to do. He's looking for the people who are gladly willing to serve and put in extra because it's the right thing, because they love God, because they love people, because they want to do it. And that's a heart thing. Okay, and everyone, we all should be working on our heart and make sure our heart is right and we get excited about the things of God. And it's something we really want to do. And it's not a chore. It's not just, oh, man, I don't want to. Oh, wait, he's out in the desert? Wait, he's in a chariot over there? You mean like that's pretty far away. What, like, okay, I'm going. Oh, he's gone. He's out of sight. Sorry, I guess I missed it. How many times have you missed opportunities? Oh, I guess I can't now. When Philip was prompted to go, join yourself to the chariot, Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Hey, do you understand what you're reading there? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And that's true. An unsaved person, a natural man, can't receive the things of God. They're not going to just know how to get saved. They're not going to, the Bible's not opened up to them. It's a spiritual book, the Word of God. They're not going to really understand what it's saying. I mean, yeah, on some level you have some understanding. I mean, you understand English or whatever language you're reading the Bible in. You have that level of grammar understanding and things like that, but you're not really getting the point. You're not really understanding the spiritual truths of the Bible because it's a spiritual book. And if you don't have the Spirit of God, then you can't understand them. Natural man receiveth not the things of God. So, and even this man knows, he's like, look, I need someone to, I don't know what this is talking about. How can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? So he's trying to understand, make sense of this passage. And what a great passage. This just shows you God was leading someone at just the right time to the right person in the right place. Philip was there, heeding the call. Well, this is perfect. You want to know what this means? Let me tell you what this means. Right? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And if you don't have a King James Bible in your hand, you don't know the answer to that. Or you're going to have a very doubtful answer with a footnote saying, well, this isn't really found in the manuscripts, in the most reliable, most modern, current manuscripts. Which is why we're King James only, especially if you're visiting today and you're not knowing that and you're wondering why are we reading the Bible with the these and the thous? Because it is the Word of God. Amen. And because it hasn't been tampered with like the modern versions have. Amen. And when the eunuch asked the question, Philip actually answered him. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. Because that is what you need to believe. That is what you need to confess in order to get baptized. That is the requirement. You need to believe. You need to put your trust in Jesus Christ. You have to believe he's the Son of God. You have to put your faith in him. Oh, you do? You believe that? Okay, well, let's get baptized then. Verse 38, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Turn if you would to Acts chapter 13. So that gives us a little bit of insight into who Philip is, right? These stories. We see his actions. We see that he was someone that was found to be faithful, found to be honest, right? Full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom. Now we're going to cover a little bit about the laying on of hands. Acts chapter 13, verse number 1, the Bible reads, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And notice, what does it say? There was prophets and teachers. And isn't that some of the men that were given as gifts for the church? Right, and that's what we see happening here in Acts chapter 13, that there were these men that were in the church for these purposes that God has blessed in order to fill these roles. Verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Again, for this Church, for our ministry to grow and to do things properly, we need to be in tune with the Holy Ghost. What is it that God wants us to do? Where is it that God wants us to go? Now, obviously, we're to preach the gospel to every creature, and God wants everyone to be saved. But you know what? There is a plan, and there is organization, and God knows where it's going to be the best places. So even when it comes to starting a church anywhere, there's a lot of prayer involved. There's a lot of seeking the Lord and seeking his guidance. And look, I don't get some audible answer saying, this is where you need to go. But you try to be sensitive to just understanding, hey, where would the will of God be? And look at all of the information that we have and say, well, I know he's going to, God wants churches everywhere. Right? Is anyone going to disagree with that? You think God doesn't want church? You know, of course, he wants people, he wants believers, he wants disciples, he wants children of God, he wants people out there. Sir, I mean, would to God the whole world could get saved, right? That would be great. The Lord's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We know that for a fact. So it's not like we could really go wrong trying to start a church somewhere, but we really want to know, hey, where's the best place? God, lead us. Lead us into battle. Lead us in the right way. Where is going to be the place where you would have the people ready right now and where we can go and build and grow and do the work for you, Lord? Lord, we're here to serve you. Show us the way. And the leadership here at the church in Antioch was in tune with the Spirit to be able to know the will for the Holy Ghost that called Barnabas and Saul to the work. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. The Holy Ghost does the calling. God does the calling. But things are still done. People don't, and look, I want to stress this, because people do the sending within the churches. You don't really see just people going off on their own and just kind of doing their own thing and say, oh, well, the Holy Ghost called me to do this. Because there's a lot of people out there that'll do that. They'll say, well, the Holy Ghost is just calling me. I just need to go here, and I just need to do this. And they kind of take this honor on themselves, and they just go and do whatever work, whatever they want to do. And usually it's people who want to be a pastor or whatever that just will go off and start their own church. They say, well, the Holy Ghost has called me. And it's kind of like, well, how does anyone even argue with that? Right? It's like arguing with a Mormon when they say, I felt this burning sensation inside my heart when I asked God if the Book of Mormon was legit. Every Mormon will tell you that story. Anyone who's brought up in Mormonism, at least, all the young elders, the 18-year-old elders that you run into, which we don't run into that whole lot here, but in Arizona, I ran into them a lot. Okay, I can tell you a lot of stories about that. The elders that were 17, 18 years old, you talk to them, and you say, well, how do you even know? Because we know the Book of Mormon isn't the Word of God. We know it's contradictory of Scripture. We say, well, how do you know that's true? How do you know it's the Word? Well, I questioned it. I asked God if this is true. And I prayed about it, and I felt the warmth, and I felt this burning in my bosom that I knew it was confirmed that this is the Word of God. They all have the same story because they're all being taught the same thing. And it's kind of like the people who go to these churches where everyone's speaking in tongues. You learn to do and you learn to go along with whatever is being taught there or going along with it. It's not of God. It's something that's just taught. Where was I going with that? Being sent? Yeah. So, thank you. So what we see here, obviously the Holy Ghost is involved and has to be involved, right? But in every instance where we see this happening, there are others involved. Even with Saul, the road to Damascus, he didn't just do everything on his own. He received his sight and was baptized at the hand of someone else and also received further instructions. Now, he received instructions directly from Christ, of course, right? But there was also other people involved. And even then, when he was at the church in Jerusalem and at the church in Antioch, there were other people in charge and other people that were making these plans and sending people out to do work, okay? As we see here, specifically, he's being sent, God's calling, but we have leadership in Antioch sending Saul, who this is before he's even known as the Apostle Paul, to go out and do this work. So what was done? Leadership fasted, they prayed, they laid their hands on them, and they sent them away. Okay, you've got this work to do. God has this work for you to do. So they commissioned them to go forth. And they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia. Because that's ultimately what matters, is that they're following the will of the Holy Ghost, right? The men still perform the sending, but God needs to be in it for it to be successful, for it to work. And from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. Now turn, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I also just recently preached a little bit more in depth on the laying on of hands when I preached in Winnipeg a few weeks ago. So you can catch that sermon. It's on our channel if you want to hear a little bit more about that as well. That's very relevant to what I'm teaching this morning. I'm covering a few different topics here, so I'm not going super in-depth on any one of them. But we remember in Ephesians 4, where we started reading, the gifts that were given to men, and it listed off the apostles and the prophets and the pastors and teachers and evangelists. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. These things command and teach, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And the people who are selected and commissioned to do these jobs, look at this list, right? They're supposed to be an example of the believers. And when people are chosen to do these missions, missionary work or whatever, we send off a missionary, right, to some foreign country somewhere. Hopefully, God, Lord willing, that'll happen too. And we'll have people who are willing to go and preach a gospel to a whole new nation or a whole group of people just somewhere else where maybe it's not as easy to hear the word of God. Because God wants those people being saved too. So we hear that we still are going to need to find someone that can be an example to those believers, because someone taking on the role of a missionary, someone taking on the role of an evangelist, someone taking on the role of a pastor, all need to be examples of the believers. You need to already be someone who's grounded, someone who's settled, someone who's faithful, someone who you could already look to as being an example. And you know what? Men, ladies, strive to be someone that can be an example to people right now, even if you're not in any position. Live your life in such a way that you can be an example to believers. That's the only way we can even have a pool of people to pull from. Because if no one's an example already, then no one's qualified. You have to already be to that point. And we want God to lead, and we want to grow, and we want to reach more people. And we don't want to grow because, oh, we just want to grow and have more things and more, we want to grow because we're trying to serve God. And if we could reach more people with the truth and get more people discipled and get more people serving God, then amen. That's what it's all about. That's the growth we want to see. The growth is for the glory of God. And isn't it glorifying to the Lord that a group of people like this, no offense, seriously, no offense, can do anything for God. And that God can work. And that lives can be changed. And I know personally of so many lives have been changed as a result of this ministry. And it's not because of me. And it's not because of any one individual. But because God is working here. Amen. Because the Lord is working to bring us together to serve him. And he wants to use all of us to serve him. And to reach more people with the gospel. Glory be to God. But look at this, verse number 12. Again, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And then look at verse 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. You have a gift, but look, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. So you have this gift, Timothy, and don't neglect it. But how did he receive that gift? Through the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. That gift was given. And this, you see this with the Holy Ghost being given. You see this when people were able to, even in Acts chapter 8, and we saw this with Elymas. He's like, oh, when he saw that when the apostles laid hands on people, they received the Holy Ghost, and then they were able to speak with other tongues, and they were able to do these other miracles and stuff. Like, wow, the power of God. The gift of God is being given on whoever these people are laying their hands on. I want to be able to do that. I want to have that power. You know, he's like, he's willing to buy it. And he's like, no, 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 you got this all wrong. You know, you're in very serious sin right now, and you better just pray to God that he's going to forgive you for that, the wickedness of your heart. Okay, you think that the power of God can be purchased with money, you know, you've got a lot to learn. But granted, this is some guy that just got saved too, right? He really didn't know him. And he was someone who had influence and thought he could just immediately jump to the top and be able to be like the apostles. No, you got a lot to learn, buddy. But nonetheless, the point is we see all throughout Scripture, especially in the New Testament, the gift that's given through the laying on of hands, through the prayer, and the gift specifically is for the job. God gives the gift. He gives you what you need to perform the work that he wants you to do. Whatever that work is, God will supply you with what you need. And that goes for everybody. Any work that God would have for you to do, God will give you what you need to do that work. Oh, I'm shy. I'm an introvert. I can't talk to people. God will give you the strength and the boldness that you need, but you have to yield yourself to the will of God. You have to put forth your effort, right? But God will work with you, and God will help change you into who he wants you to be. We are continually supposed to be more conformed to the image of Christ. Now, of course, we're far from that image. But we want to, or you should, want to change so that we could be in a little bit more conformity every day to the image of Christ. I want to be my own person, and I'm going to color my hair and get tattoos and be just completely different. And be just like everyone else who's stubborn and rebellious. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be in the image of Christ. And try to be a little bit more Christ-like. That's the goal. Verse 15, he says, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And that's not talking about spiritual salvation, it's talking about more like a physical salvation. Like, hey, you pay attention to this stuff because it's good for you. Last place we're going to turn is John chapter 15. So we looked at what an evangelist is. We looked at the biblical role of an evangelist. We look at how the Bible talks about an evangelist, okay? And we need an evangelist to go lead the soul-winning efforts, lead the church, help teach and help the church there to grow. We saw laying on of hands looks pretty important for people who are commissioned and chosen to do these jobs and being sent off to do a task. So we're going to, in just a minute, do that here. And then just finally, the ordination itself, or being ordained is like being selected, being chosen, okay? The ordination is just the choosing of somebody, okay? And we're establishing today, and we're setting forth the task at hand. And as a church, hey, we want to have this other church started. And there's a big job. There's a lot of work to do. And we're going to be given the instructions on what's to be done with this new endeavor. And there's an ordination. And there's multiple ordinations in Scripture. People chosen to do different things, different tasks, different jobs. We're just going to look at one because I think it's very applicable. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. But it also applies to what we're doing here. Look at John 15, verse 16. The Bible says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And Of course, this is in the context of John 15. He's the vine or the branches, right? And I preached just recently, again, glorifying the Father. He's glorified by us bringing forth much fruit. Well, as a church, we want to bring forth even more fruit by planting a new church with has the mission and the objective of bringing forth fruit and bringing forth more people and sowing the seed of the gospel and reaching a whole new area. We want to glorify God. We want to bring forth fruit. We are commissioning a man this morning to head up that important task and that important role and that job. And to be, again, clear with the church in general, he's going to be reporting to me. But everything else, you know, if there's anything going on with that church plant, he's the man to go to. Okay? Brother Carter's been found faithful as long as I've been here. And for those of you who don't know, he's been coming to this church. Brother Carter, when was the first time you started coming to our church? Do you remember? Was it the second week? The second week, okay? And Brother Carter, like a few others in this church, were already faithfully attending a different church, a soul-winning church, okay? So he wasn't brand new even to church and church life and being saved and preaching the gospel with our church. Already been doing it somewhere else. Changed churches, I believe, very with integrity and appropriately and consulted counsel on how he can do this in the right way to not cause problems with the church he was leaving and everything else. And you know, from the very beginning, had the right mindset, had the right heart, has shown himself and proven himself faithful, has come to the preaching classes, has come even when he's worked overnight and showed up and helped. And at any time I've asked Brother Carter to do anything, he was right there to help and right there to be able to work. And look, there's many other people that also help similarly, but this is why we're choosing Brother Carter to lead up this church. He's been well established and is going to do a great job. And I believe this is the man who the Holy Ghost would want to have leading the efforts in South Carolina. Amen. So with that, I'm going to ask Brother Carter to come up here, please. All right, Brother Carter. We've got an important job, important mission for you to do. You've been commissioned by Stronghold Baptist Church to go forward and to preach the gospel to the Greenville area and to help that church get established and founded for the cause of Christ. We pray that you would please just keep in mind the importance of the work and that you would serve the Lord faithfully and that he would strengthen you and strengthen your family and bless you and help you to get all the work done that needs to be done there with leading people to Christ, with teaching and admonishing and just leading the group of people in the Greenville area, and that God equips you with being blessed with the Spirit and all that you need to be able to get that task done. And may the Lord bless you, Brother Carter. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. And as I mentioned, if there's any other questions, too, regarding how things operate, you could come and talk to me. But Brother Carter is commissioned now to do this work. He's already been doing tons of work on the back end, getting everything ready and set to go as it is. But moving forward now, hey, praise the Lord. There's a new plant that's starting up. Really excited about it. I hope you are, too. Be in prayer for that work. Be in prayer for this work. We're going to be sacrificing a little bit, but all for the greater good. We want more people added to the kingdom of God. Amen. That's what it's all about. So let's put forth our best effort in support of both ministries, right? It's one ultimately, but all the work that's going on. And, you know, this reminds me, this popped in my head, just like Joab was going out to battle. And then he finds, hey, there's a front on this side, and there's a front on this side. And he says, hey, if they're too strong for you, we'll come over and we'll help you. And if they're too strong for us, you come over and help us. Right? And that's the mindset we're going to have here. So if there's anything lacking or anything wanting at either our ministries, hey, we're going to be leaning on each other and helping. It's only a couple hours away to get the work done. And I'm looking forward to all the great efforts that's going to be going on there. Please spread the word about this church plant. I hope you're excited about it too. Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this opportunity and bringing us to a place where we're capable of being able to start a new church. Lord, I pray that this is the first of many. I pray that you would please have this church plant grounded and rooted down, dear Lord, and established, and that it will grow correctly, but grow quickly, and that you will just build that church, build this church, Lord. Add the members as you see fit. Help us to be fully functioning bodies of Christ to bring more honor and glory to your name. God, we love you. Please help us and make us better. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to sing one last song before we're dismissed. Brother Will, would you please lead us in the last song?
All right, church, turn to Psalm number 315.
Church rules.